Good evening and welcome to the Red Pill News. Tonight on the show, we're going to discuss stupidity on a massive scale. Then we're going to discuss stupidity on a lower scale. Then we're going to discuss stupidity on a very incremental level. But as I look at this world and as I listen to people, I realize that no one has an original idea. And everybody likes to follow something else. And the people who have original ideas are invisible. You, if you're one of those people, you go through life and you feel like no one's on that level. You just kind of float along observing things like Socrates, right? Making these observations. And you realize that you don't like to do what people like to do. You realize that television shows don't apply themselves to you. You realize these commercials have nothing to do with where your head is at, you know. And then you look at the world. I mean, at this point, commercialism is just so in your face. I mean, I had a fortune cookie that had an ad on the other side of the fortune, you know, like an ad in a fortune cookie, man. You know, but now with the internet, you mention something with your phone around, your computer around, if the microphones are active in that software, whatever software we're talking about, Google or something, it takes what you say and it processes those words. And or if you do a search for something, it takes that, processes it, and sends ads at you ad nausea. Ad nausea, that's what ad nausea means. You know, there's no way around it. And it used to be years ago, still to this day, spam in your mailbox. Not talking about email, you're talking about physical mailbox. You go to the mailbox. Like I have a P.O. box. I go to the P.O. box, take the mail. I stand right by the recycling in the post office, and I'm like, okay, get rid of all that stuff. Take my three little measly pieces of mail home, right? These days, if you open your email, there's a ton of spam and crap and whatever, and there's almost no way to get rid of it. Even if you go to those sites and you put in your name and then your email, they don't take you off the list. It's just bull crap, right? So the only way to avoid it is to not play, not have an email, not go there, you know. And like back in the day, I get in my car, I had a Camaro with T-tops or Trans Am, which also had T-tops. I'm a T-top kind of guy. Cruise down the road, you got your radio, there's no computer in the car, there's no nothing. You know, just you, car, your motor, your radio, your transmission, rear, wheels, cruising down the road. Not even a beeper at that point, you know. If someone had a message for you, they would call your home and leave a message on your answering machine. You would get home and listen to the answering machine and call the people back that you want to call back. You know, these days, it's all immediate communication. And if you're not available for your boss, for your girlfriend, for your boyfriend, you know, girls are worse than guys. If a girl calls you, they expect you to pick up no matter what you are doing, man. Even if you're working, doesn't matter. They expect you, or even text them back because it's just a text, you know. The problem is, it's a constant, it's just the constant swing of the hammer. There's no downtime unless you shut the thing off. And if you shut the thing off, you're going to get all kinds of questions. You know, how come you're right there? How come you didn't answer? Who are you with? What are you doing? You get all that. So at the end of the day, it's lose-lose, right? Or you're cruising down the road and your phone's tuned in to your car's entertainment system. You list rocking out, listen to one of your really awesome songs. And then, boom. It cuts in. There's a phone call. All right. And yeah, you can shut your Bluetooth off. You can shut the phone off. Shut the Bluetooth off and lower down the level of the phone and then kind of put it to the side. It's getting harder and harder to do that. You notice that? Because now, I mean, a lot of these phones, even if you shut the volume off, it'll still vibrate. And then the older phones, you can shut the vibration off. A lot of the newer phones, you can't shut the vibration off. The ad generating world wants to penetrate you and take your money. That's what they want, you know? And if you fit in to that type of world, then that's fine. Some people enjoy it. They like seeing the ads, I guess, you know, or they're looking at Facebook and they're seeing all the stuff that they just searched for. But it gives you the creepy feeling that you're being watched. right? You're being tracked, you're being followed, but by who? Not by the government. They can't track anybody. You see the unbelievable gang problem we have in the United States of America and crime problem. If the government was tracking these criminals, they certainly would be able to put them in jail, wouldn't they? Or stop them from crimes, you know? So for your average person sitting there saying, I can't talk in front of my phone because the government's listening. It's not the government, it's Google, you know, or corporations like that are listening to you, processing it, recording that information and keeping it for themselves to use against you and throwing ads at you, right? So you have a lot more to be afraid of. And in this time and age, you know, all right, we got volcanoes blowing up. We've got a global pandemic, which is getting worse. We've got floods. We've got fires. We've got earthquakes. Now we have these geostorms from the sun that say it's going to short everything out in the next few days and all that. I'll tell you, if you focus on all of this mayhem, you will never be happy. You'll never be able to crack a smile because the dogmaticness of these things and events and also how people react to it is going to be on your heels. And you're not ever going to, you know, like this. I'll save you some time. Ancient philosopher Lao Tzu said, when you are on the path of life, if you pick up a dead rat and you carry it around, the only thing you're going to experience is the smell and the unpleasantness of that dead rat. There could be beautiful flowers on the side of the road. You will never smell them. There could be beautiful food to have. You will never taste it. You will never smell it. You will never have it. All the experiences around you, a beautiful sunset, will be hindered by that dead rat. So that is a New York City analogy also, because New York, of course, is rats. But if you think about it, it's the truth of negativity and where it'll take you and where it'll drop you. And don't expect people to be kind when you're down. I've been down since my mother's death. Don't expect people to be kind. Don't expect it. In fact, I was driving past a house today and they have a big heart on the front lawn said, be kind. I yelled out, F you. You know why? Because one, it's an assumption to think that I'm not kind and I'm driving past and I happen to see this sign. So obviously they're talking to me and anybody else who's driving past. Assumption. Number two, don't tell people what to do. How about you say kindness is love? Love is kindness. You know, kindness can bring happiness. Whatever, man. That's all you got to say. Stop telling people what to do. But that's the world we're in. The world of fake outrage, the world of people telling you what to do, that they're judging you in your life because they wouldn't do what you do. Well, guess what? I'm a different person. I can do whatever I want to do. I'm a different person. The things I like to do, I'm sure most people out there don't like to do. You know? So it's like that. In fact, the only thing I think we can all agree on that we all like is pizza. And aside from pizza, you're really not thinking of it. You know, I never heard anybody say, I don't like pizza. I've heard people say, I don't like Chinese food. I don't like Indian food. I don't like eggs. But no, not pizza. So maybe pizza can bring the world together. It's pie, right? Pie. So in this world, you have COVID-19. You have people who don't believe in it or people who have politicized it. Not just that. They're so angry about it. I encounter people out there. I talked to a dude today. I was in a store. And he was just so angry that people were wearing masks. You know, and it's like he's telling people, I'll rip the mask off you. He said that to me because I'm 6'5" and nearly 300 pounds. Yeah, dude like that, you don't want to say I'm going to rip your mask off. That guy was like a little chihuahua. You know what I mean? People like that who are all powerful, yelling at old ladies saying they're going to tear their mask off. Just an idiot. You know what I mean? Stupid idiot. Stupidity on a massive scale. To say this COVID-19 doesn't exist, you got to be a blooming idiot. To say that people aren't dying of COVID-19, you have to be objectively stupid. There's no fixing stupid either. So these people are out there. And it's like the guy in Texas, a big fat guy who he had rallies against COVID and rallies and against wearing masks and vaccines, and he was against this. Guess what? He's dead. He died of COVID-19. And then his wife instead goes out and starts a GoFundMe page, you know, because he's got a baby and four other kids breeding out of control, right? And now they can't afford to live because the guy is dead because of COVID-19. You know, so this is the problem. And this is also the Darwin Award, the premise behind it. And it's also something called natural extinction, where certain parts of species go extinct because of their own sheer stupidity. The smarter ones go hide up in the rocks until the apocalypse is over. And then when it's over, they come back down and claim the land. The dumb ones stand around picking their nose saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. You know, blah, 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 blah. All right. I'm going to read you something that's going to scare the hell out of you. If it doesn't scare the hell out of you, then you have no business listening to this show. All right. Because this is the real deal. This isn't politicians talking. This isn't the media talking. This is what's happening. All right. There's a new strain. Like, you know about the Delta strain, and I've talked to you about the Lambda strain that's taking hold in California right now. So listen to this, right? A COVID-19 variant first detected in South Africa could be the most infectious than any other mutation and may not have potential of being resistant to vaccines, according to a report. So you have something that's resistant to vaccines and more deadly and more infectious, right? The C.1.2 strain has been linked to increased transmissibility and is said to have mutated the most from the original virus, which emerged from China, from Wuhan, from a weapons lab in Wuhan, at the end of last year, of course, right? All the end of 2019, you know? The strain has a mutation rate of 41.8 mutations per year, almost double the global mutation rate seen in any other existing variant of concern, according to experts at South Africa's National Institute of Communicable Diseases and the KwaZulu National Research Innovation and Sequencing Platform, which is intersected with America's CDC, don't forget, and also the World Health Organization. So you have a lot of heads in the game trying to stop these things. The number of C.1.2 genomes in South Africa has risen from 0.2% in May to 1.6% in June and 2% in July. So obviously it's going up. According to scientists who have also found 14 mutations in nearly 50% of the variants that had sequenced. Okay. Now, the C.1.2 strain has also been found in the UK, China, Democratic Republic of the Congo, New Zealand, Portugal, Switzerland. The latest South African variant could be capable of evading antibodies and immune systems. All right, let me read that line to you again. This latest South African variant could be capable of evading antibodies and immune systems. So that's the whole show. So imagine you're 100% immunocompromised compared to this. It gets in you. It's going to do to you what it wants to do to you, you know? We describe and characterize a new identified SARS-CoV-2 lineage with several spike mutations that is likely to have emerged in a major, metropolis in South Africa and first wave of the epidemic, and then spread to multiple locations with two neighboring provinces. So think about that. Think about what's coming to town, you know? So they show that this lineage has rapidly expanded and becoming dominant in three provinces. At the same time, there's been a rapid resurgence of infections. So the B.1.351, another South African strain found in April, had the potential to break through the Pfizer vaccine. We found a disproportionate higher rate of the South African variant among people vaccinated with a second dose compared to the unvaccinated group, said Professor Adi Stern at Tel Aviv University in Israel. This means that the South African variant is able, to some extent, to break through the vaccine's protection, right? But still, he said the variant has not spread widely through the population yet. Yet. And that's the deal. Yet. So how do you protect yourself? That's all. You got to think, how do I protect myself in all of this? You wear your mask. You do your hands. You wash your hands in soap and hot water if around, or hand sanitizer, which I'm not so keen on, but it's better than nothing. You go into a store. You go into a situation. I can't imagine people going back to offices. I can't imagine anyone congregating. And, you know, school starts locally here next week. I can't imagine that. It's just not going to wreak havoc. I mean, and there's no vaccine for children. And then, you know, the Delta variant's going after kids, making kids sick. The pediatric beds are going. And look at the map. Go ahead and look at the, go to the Mayo Clinic. They have a beautiful coronavirus map. And you can look at Florida, 20,000 new infections per day, more than that. You know, you can look at other, I mean, Wyoming's popping, you know, I mean, you know, Kentucky, Tennessee. I mean, every state in the United States of America has Delta variant exposures and outbreaks because it's so infectious, you know. New York, all that, everybody's increasing daily as to, you know, new infections, right? And then you hear the politics behind it. You hear these people talking. It's so frustrating to listen to them because you know that they're not coming from a point of view of science. And then you hear people repeat what they say. And, you know, I even say to people sometimes, like, you're an intelligent person. Please, please don't repeat what these idiots say. That's ridiculous to me, you know? So all you could do is what you do. And the Delta variant right now, was 70 to 80% more infectious than the original stuff from last year, whatever. Now it's 100%. So this is making people sick. People are getting it. People are getting it. They're getting sick. They're being exposed to it. They're getting sick. They're going to the hospital. They need breathing machines and they need oxygen. You know, this is going after other parts of their organs. It's going after kidneys and lungs and other things too. At some point, these people are going to need long-term care or even short-term care. You take a hospital that has 1,000 beds, you fill up those beds, and then you have a whole bunch of long-term needs of people who are going to need to be there for a couple of weeks, and that hospital is full, then you have nowhere to put people. So we're getting to that point in so many southern states, you know, especially when it comes to pediatric beds. So on the lighter side of news, I want to talk about this airline duct tape thing because it's very kinky, you know, and I'm a fan of duct tape. Any guy from the 80s will say, I love duct tape. Well, you will never find a guy that has a car that doesn't have a roll of duct tape in the back of his car. If not, then he doesn't even deserve to drive that car. So what? Duct tape has a million uses. Also, keeping airline passengers in line. You duct tape women, kids. I haven't seen any men duct taped yet. It's always been the women and the kids, but it's these women who are completely out of control. And I think they're out of control because they can be these days, you know, because of all this Me Too stuff. And they know that they can, you know, when there are people that know they can get away with things, they will, whether they should or not, whether it's right or not, it's that they will. And that abuses privilege for other people. And then people start getting sick of their whole act. And that's how things change in our society. So here we go. Please don't duct tape the passengers, United Airlines warns flight attendants. You mean it's not part of their protocol? It's not in their flight attendant book? Passenger out of control, and there's a little picture of duct tape, you know, next to it. Yeah, you need the picture. A lot of people don't read. I was in Walmart the other day, and they had 10 items or less line, and they actually had two hands with 10 fingers up to say 10 items, 10 fingers or less. Unless you have less than 10 fingers, then you got to go to another line. So, and that's very applicable at Walmart. So, and when I want to feel thin, I go to Walmart. So, and I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just saying that it makes me feel good. It makes me feel good. United Airlines sought to avoid its own sticky situations with passengers by warning staff to refrain from using duct tape to restrain unruly flyers. After, and you think they have duct tape on an airplane, you know what I mean? Like, that in of itself is kind of interesting because it's not really the environment necessarily where you'd want to have duct tape, but duct tape has a million uses, including keeping passengers in line, right? After flight attendants on two other airlines recently resorted to the tactic, making the memorable viral videos. Please remember that there are designated items. Oh, I have to read it like. Please remember that there are designated items on board that may be useful in different situations. And alternate measures such as duct tape should never be used. John Slater, Senior VP for In-Flight Services, wrote in a memo obtained by Newsweek. As you've seen, as you've likely seen, a few airlines have recently made news about the way they've handled situations on board. The overwhelming majority of our customers have been on their best behavior throughout the pandemic and returned to our flights with confidence and enthusiasm, he wrote. When things have evolved, you've relied on all aspects of in-flight safety training, including de-escalation, the memo added. Slater was referring to at least three incidents now involving duct tape used on passengers on American Airlines and Frontier. Flight attendants on a recent American Airlines flight from Maui to Los Angeles taped down a young boy when he threw a tantrum and the flight was diverted to Honolulu. Now, I read that story. It wasn't a tantrum. This kid was freaking going crazy trying to kick the windows out of the plane. Yeah, they took duct tape and they actually did the right thing. What are you supposed to do? They should have a little jail on the plane, I guess, or something. Something down in baggage, you know, like a cage. You just put people in. I don't know. Duct tape sounds like it works. It definitely changed his behavior. Which, you know what? It's half the battle. The flight was diverted to Honolulu. So they're going from Maui to Los Angeles. Then they have to go back to Honolulu because somebody couldn't raise their kid the right way, basically. You know, they let the little bastard go crazy. And then they have to duct tape him on top of that because the mother couldn't get the kid to calm down. In another incident, Maxwell Berry, 22, was taped to the back of a seat on a Frontier flight from Philadelphia to Miami on August 3rd. He was accused of groping two flight attendants. So here's the guy. Like a Cuomo. He's probably a Cuomo cousin, right? Cousin Cuomo. Grabbing some whatever, gotta get, hey, let me grab you. You know, my cousin's the governor of New York, or he was anyway. And they're like, we're not having that. They whip out a roll of duct tape. And last month, an apparent unhinged woman was duct taped to a seat on her American Airlines flight from Dallas, Fort Worth to Charlotte, North Carolina, after she allegedly attacked the crew and tried to open the door on the plane as it was flying. And there's a picture of her. And she looks very comfortable, actually, duct taped like that, you know. And it's very satisfying to see this because then you're teaching people they can't do it. You're teaching them that your kid goes out of control. We're going to duct tape him to a seat. You try to open the plane during the flight, you're going to get duct taped. Better than that, than have a bunch of passengers stand up and pummel her, because that can also happen because people are really off the wall these days. You know, the morale of the country is very low. We have no leadership whatsoever. If you look at this Afghanistan debacle, it'll show you exactly where things are at, you know, and people are losing it. You're going to see more and more stories of people completely losing it, right? Okay. So United crews have also used duct tape to restrain a disruptive man who was able to slip out of handcuffs on a flight in 2003. You see, handcuffs versus duct tape. Which one works? The duct tape, right? And in 2008, a woman was, just going back a little bit, a woman who attacked passengers and flight attendants was duct taped on a United flight. So good. I'm all for it. You know what? It's alternative to something worse and violent or whatever could happen. Or God forbid, if they, you know, succeed in breaking a window or doing something like that. That's these people, though. But people like feeling sorry for themselves. And people like, you know what? There's in our society, There's a large group of people who are taught that they're victims at birth, and these are women. And women are not victims at birth. Women is the other half of men, right? You know, I see things differently with all this nonsense going on these days. And yeah, you know, obviously I believe in equal rights for everybody, but I think that we all have our roles in this world, you know. But when it comes to what you brainwash people when they're young and what they grow up with, you know, it really doesn't make any sense to do that, because you're not helping anything in society, right? And like, you know, you see a lot of these teachers these days who are getting called out because, you know, the one took down the American flag in her class. Then she puts up the rainbow flag, you know, saying it's for gays and transsexuals. Then she has the kids pledge allegiance to lesbians or whatever. You know what? And yeah, people are outraged. And that's no way to win over somebody that you're trying to prove a point on. There's no way. If you're saying, okay, I'm going to prove a point to you, but I punch you in the face, the only thing you can be thinking about is getting punched in the face. You're not going to care what the hell anybody has to say, you know? So everybody should be respected. And unless they're disrespectful, unless they're people who are horrible, they hurt animals, they hurt other people, those people. But what about the narcissists out there? And there's plenty of them. And what about, you know what I'm going to talk about? Paula Poroshkova, right? She's famous. I don't know who the hell she is, but she's famous. She shares, I'm talking about because I like the story. She shares a crying selfie saying that she was blindsided by betrayal. So it's funny when people do the selfies, man. You know, I have maybe three that I've taken of myself just to stick on Facebook. And that was like 3 out of 3,000 that I took that I thought were acceptable, that made me look halfway human, because, you know, unfortunately, people judge you the second they click on your thing and they see what they see, and that's it. And it's really not really respectful or kind. You know, there's that be kind crap to do to people and say all your worth is in the first picture. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And this is interesting, right? So we're in a world of feel sorry for me because you need to feel sorry for me, even though I have so much. Feel sorry for how many times you see these people who are so overly privileged and they get to the top and they're doing their thing, but yet they're full of drama and they're always feeling sorry for themselves. And, you know, and it's like then there's people out there that have nothing and they're happy, you know, that should say something to you, right? So this Paulina Poroshkova let her guard down, right, in a sentimental message to fans, according to the lengthy post, a bare-faced photo of the former supermodel in tears. And she has pretty privilege, because an unsightly person is not going to get any kind of support. It's going to be a total onslaught of misery from people attacking you because you're so ugly when you cry. And that's my thing. I have a very hard time keeping a straight face when people are crying. And this is because people look so ugly and stupid when they cry. You know, when you're used to someone having a certain face and then it contorts and it gets all red and it's funny as hell, man. It's just funny. It's funny when a kid cries, funny when people cry. I'm sad that they're crying. Not really. You know, because I didn't make them cry, probably. I have empathy for people when they're really in pain or something. But if you're crying over some stupid thing, really? So, all right. Here she says, I know you have all enjoyed. I'll read it how she writes it because she doesn't speak. I know you all enjoy happy posts, seeing people pick themselves up, dust their pants, and get back on the horse, all while smiling to let you know this fall just made them stronger and better people. The 56-year-old beauty began. So first of all, she's 56. She hit the wall a long time ago, especially for a supermodel. When they hit the wall, they can't handle it because their whole life is the way they look. And if they get 1% less in their looks, man, people brush them aside because there's always new ones coming out. There's always younger, more beautiful, better models coming out, right, in the world. That's the world that they're in. but it's also the world that they chose, you know? So you can't feel bad for that. So, but she says, but every day is not a happy day on the path of recovery. She went on. Trust after being betrayed seems as far-fetched as being shot into space. Don't tell that to a couple of those guys who just got shot into space. Correction. It's easier to see myself shot into space at this moment. While the Czech-born model doesn't name names, Poroskova parted ways with Aaron Sorkin last month after only 3 months of dating in the public eye. Right? Oh, my God. Look at her. Yeah, she's... Oh, my God. Look at her. Look at her teary-eyed. See, I look at this picture, and I'm like, oh. And I start laughing. Because she looks silly, you know? Look at my sad face. Look at my tears. Look at my little red, old puffy cheeks. Look at me. I don't want to look, you know? Like, feel sorry for me, goddammit. Give me your sympathy. Of course I have a heart. I have a heart for people who have a heart. You know what I mean? I don't feel for people that, you know, was some stupid breakup, whatever. Listen, we've all been through it. Every last one of us, basically. You know, it happens. It's going to happen. People are married for 8, 10, 14 years, and the guy ends up getting divorced, loses everything, loses his kids, loses more than half his money, loses all of his stuff, got to go out into the streets and make some kind of life for himself. Yeah, that happens every day in America, many times a day. A lot of men commit suicide because of that every day in America, many times a day. They're not talking about that here. They're talking about this woman crying in a photograph. So anyway, her feelings of betrayal could also stem from her late estranged husband, Cars singer Rick Ocasek, who cut her out of his will before his unexpected 2019 passing. So she's crying because she lost Rick Ocasek's dough, and she dated some guy for 3 months, and he dumped her, but probably couldn't handle her. He probably only saw her three times within the 3 months, and it's like, I just can't handle it. Because she, just from reading this story, you're going to tell that she's very much into herself, right? So the move resulted in Poroskova leaning on friends to pay for groceries following his death, right? You believe that? You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that she would use her friends. I believe this woman can't go out and get a job because she doesn't want to. I think that she's not going to go out and make a buck. And then the very fact that she was the trophy wife of Rick Ocasek, yeah, that's what rock stars do. They go out there, they amass a huge fortune, and then they attract these beautiful women who are models. They flock over to them, and then that's their relationship. Is it love? I don't know. Is that one of his songs? I don't know. Who's going to drive you home tonight? Not me. You know, you're going to have add that. We're going to have to augment the songs, Rick. Sorry you're dead, but we're changing your songs. What's the other one, man? When you dance all night. I don't know. I used to like the Cars. The Cars was like the quintessential Long Island radio band. You know, you're cruising down the street, there's the Cars. Anyway, do I have their music? Do I own the Cars music? No. Do I own AC/DC? Yes. Rush? Yes. Led Zeppelin? Yes. Pink Floyd? Yes. Do I own the Cars? No. Cranberries? Yes. Cars? No. Ocasek told her that it would be a bad omen if they signed a prenup, so she never did. Another thing about rock stars, they don't like the prenup. Prenups are useless in court anyway, for the most part, you know. But in some states, they do have some validity, but in other states, not too much. But so this was her thing. She's hooked up with a rock star, living mansions, you know, private jets, the rock star life, right? So then she's like, when you have been betrayed, how can I do it? What's the Czech accent, man? When you have been, it sounds like my German, kind of, you know? All right, I'm just going to wing it. When you have been betrayed, promised something, only to have the promise broken without your participation, you were blindsided. Boriskova continued, "You trusted someone to love you, and now all love is suspect." "But love is not possible without trust, and the world of love is not worth living without love and money." I think that we should put, all right, let's replace the word love with money, because that's really what she's talking about, right? "But money is not possible without trust, and the world without money is not worth living." So, all kinds of money. That's the deal, right? So she went on to question how one can open up after an intense heartache while acknowledging those who believe her teary-eyed selfie to be a bit ego-driven. Let's see, for you who'd like to point out a crying selfie is the height of narcissism, I wholeheartedly agree. Ooh, you see, that's the deal about the internet. You know? Internet. People are brutal. Brutal. The people online were just basically attacked her for crying in the camera and, you know, "You don't deserve any sympathy. Go get a job. Who do you think you are? Blah, 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 blah." That's the brutal truth of the internet, man, you know. You put yourself out there, you're going to get what you get. You know that model that's on the AT&T commercials, right? She has a large chest, huge. And I just saw her on a show talking about how she thinks it's terrible that people are focusing on her chest and not her. But yet, I will guarantee you the reason why she's in show business is because of her chest and not because of her. So whatever you got to play to your strengths, you know? I noticed the last commercial for AT&T. It looks like they tried to duct tape her boobs, man. Maybe she flew United Airlines or something, man. It was all real uncomfortably tight, looking like it was about to explode. It looked very uncomfortable. It made me feel like I don't want this insurance. This AT&T. It's not very reliable. I feel like it's going to burst any second, and then I'll have no communication, man. So here's another one. So not long ago, Alex Rodriguez, the very famous A-Rod, terrible baseball player, but he must have been good enough to make the millions he made. Plus, he's a billionaire now, apparently, because he mega invests and, you know, he seems like a decent sort. I don't know him, but I know he dated Jennifer Lopez, like a lot of other men, right? And it's a situation where she's not yours forever. She's just yours for now. You know, and you have to understand that about relationships. When someone says, "I'll be with you forever," they're lying. Or the word "forever" doesn't mean what you think it means. It just means however long it lasts. I will be with you forever, however long it lasts, right? So I've got dozens of cards by women, "I'll be with you forever," and I'm single. So it's kind of telling you something. Now, A-Rod just bought Jennifer Lopez a ring worth millions and millions of dollars. I talked about the rings last week because, you know, Ben Affleck, who she's back with now, was out buying an expensive ring, a ring for her. And I said they could probably solve all the problems with poverty in the world just by her donating the rings that these guys have bought her over the years, right? She probably has a huge collection. So here we go. This is love for you. They were enthralled with each other, weren't they? Just a few months ago, hand in hand, loving on each other. Oh, you know, the paradise vacations and all the stuff that you do. And A-Rod, see, men are different than women. Men, obviously. Men, not if you ask CNN or those guys, but men fall in love with women. Women fall in love with what men can do for them. I'm talking about all women. I'm talking about a lot, right? And this gives women a bad name when it comes to dating and guys, because guys just think that women are after one thing and women think that guys are after one thing. So, and they'd probably both be pretty right. But when a man falls for a woman, it's a deep, deep passionate thing. And, you know, for whatever reason, no, you know, because they like them, they like what they got, they like what they're all about, or, you know, I don't believe in those spiritual connections anymore. In fact, there's a lot of stuff I don't believe in anymore that I've given up on because it just doesn't seem plausible, right? Because I've seen too much already, you know? All right, here's the story. Here's the headline. It's going to tell you the whole thing. Jennifer Lopez unfollows and wipes ex Alex Rodriguez from her Instagram. So in this day and age, you don't break up with people. You delete them. You go to your cell phone, you delete them. You go to your Facebook, you delete them. You go to your Instagram, you delete them. And Twitter and whatever else you use, they're gone. Basically, you can add them back if you have to. But right now, they're gone. So you don't have to see them or hear about them or anything. Unless they're mega famous and you're A-Rod sitting there watching TV at night and see Jennifer Lopez back with her ex-guy, you know, Ben Affleck. And that's the go-to source. When they both break up, that's where they run to if they're both single at the same time. And then that lasts for a few months and then boom, back on again. That's why Ben Affleck, just buy her cubic zirconia. Save the money. Save that $2 million. Give it to some homeless people. Give it to some charity. You know what? There's a Native American charity I love to support, man, and they don't even want money. You know what? I mean, they're happy to have money, but they want school supplies. They want important things for the students there, books, things like that. That's a worthy cause. Giving Jennifer Lopez another ring is like giving an Eskimo an ice cube. You know, don't do it. Please don't do it. But anyway, Jennifer Lopez has further cemented her rekindled relationship with Ben Affleck by deleting every trace of the most recent ex, Alex Rodriguez, from her Instagram. That's when you can tell they really love you, too, is when they want that total closure, shut everything off. But you're still in their thoughts, you know? I know that. Followers took note Saturday that the Bronx-born entertainer's social media feed had been slightly revamped with photos of ex-fiancé A-Rod all having been removed from her account. This includes shots of the exes together during President Joe Biden's inauguration, where J-Lo performed, "This Land Is Your Land." This ring is my ring. This ring is my ring. Give it to me now. And next week I'll be with another guy and he'll buy me a ring too. And that one too. This ring belongs to me. Yow! Shaking her booty. Dancing. Dance Paul up there. Like, you know. Oh, and she sang America the Beautiful. This land is my land. This land is my land. Photos and clips of the star also during the event, however, remained. Of course, because it's her performing, you know. The Hustlers star, 52 years old, also followed the former Yankees, 46. So he's younger, man. There's one thing, you know, Jennifer Lopez has to be careful now. Because the second I read her age, you know, I said to myself, yeah, she looks good for her age. That's like the worst thing you can say to a woman, man. The worst possible thing. Guys, they don't care. Guys like it. Guys, men age like fine wine. But, you know, women age like milk. And then when they see, you know, you look good for your age. Ooh. I mean, that deserves a slap right there. You get struck. You look good for your age. Slap. I'm sorry. It's like that though, isn't it? You know, when people, especially these people who are, you know, out there known for their body, more for their music, you probably can't name her songs, but you can name what outfits that she wore during the Super Bowl and all these other things, showing her coochie and whatever. And I don't know. That's, it's more about objectification of women to me anyway, but it's just kind of funny. That's all I'm saying. So let's see. This is a month after they broke up. 1 month. Oh, after, you know, this was back. They split in April, so not a month. Lopez has since circled back to Affleck, who was 48, another younger guy, and they got the mommy syndrome, right? You know, she's like a mommy figure to them. You know, that's the younger guy, older woman type of thing. You know, she dates a lot of younger guys. Probably because older guys are kind of decrepit at that point. So Ben Affleck, 48, whom she dated for 18 months before their split in 2004. So 18 months. That's all. But for Hollywood, that's like 50 years right there, man. Almost 20 years later, the couple is hotter than ever, going public during the Let's Get Loud singer's 52nd birthday. Her birthday weekend bash, right? Let me see. So, upon his return to the States, the baseball pro declared he was stepping out with the Big D energy. Determined, darling, and dapper AF. I'll tell you what that means. He celebrated his birthday, 46 years. A source told Page Six, is where we're from, that Rodriguez is single and having fun and just friends with Collins, despite romance whispers. He got his girl, too. Of course, they always have their go-to that they're going to run to, right? But you know what? Are they happy? Or are you happy in your world, in your relationship? I mean, things can always be better. Things can always be worse. And what's the most important thing is that if you're in a relationship with someone, that person needs to respect you. And if they don't like the people that the person that you are and what you do, they shouldn't be with you. You shouldn't get with someone that you want to change. You should get with someone that you're happy with the person that they are and you're comfortable with that, right? So I think that a lot of it has to do with people who are being brainwashed by media sources and others. There's so much of that out there. And it's expectations, right? What they expect, you know? It all started with the Kardashians, you know? And then this pie-in-the-sky life that these girls all of a sudden had no talent, no ability, no nothing. And then here they were, very wealthy, stepping out with all the famous people and the mansions and all that. But look what it did. Look what it did to them. And look what it did to their lives. And, you know, they leave a very shallow, plastic existence. I mean, you know, and that's fine if that's what they want. And the problem is it's like a disease and it spreads. And then there's people who are sitting home watching this, especially young girls who are like, hey, you know, I want all these things. And, you know, it becomes unrealistic when because not everybody gets there. A very small percentage of people get there. Look what it did to Bruce Jenner. You know what I mean? Really? You want to talk about pretty weird going on. But when I look at television, which I really don't, you know what I do? I put it on. I flip through the channels. I'm like, oh, my God, this is horrible. And then I shut it off, you know. If The Office is on, I'll watch those reruns or just kind of leave it on in the background. But then I mute out. I have to have the remote handy. I have to mute out the commercials because they're so obnoxious and offensive to me, you know. And there's just nothing I want to be part of with those commercials. Like, they don't apply to me anyway. I'm not buying or want anything that they have. So it's pretty simple. But I can see what they're gearing it towards. And, you know, I think that in your quest in life, what's the meaning of life? Everybody asks that question. What's the meaning of life? I hear that all the time. What's the meaning of life? When I became a reverend 5 years ago, man, they just sent me a thing to remind me that you've been a reverend for 5 years and not paid your dues. Just kidding. I don't have to pay. I joined a New Life Church. You know why? Because 5 years ago, I was on the quest of useless titles of the path of least resistance. Does that make sense? You know, I became a captain, a sea captain the same year. Same year, reverend and captain, damn it. So they sent me this thing, you know, as a reverend, you could do marriages and counseling and all these things. I did it because it's the same group that The Rock signed up for, you know, The Rock. So everybody's got confidence and paranoia, right? You have your confidence on one side telling you you're drop dead gorgeous, you're sexy, you can't make a mistake, everything you do is great. Then you got your paranoia. It tells you you're fat, ugly, and stupid. No one loves you. And everything you do, you're a goddamn failure, right? And you have to kind of, you know, find the balance between those two. So my confidence is rock. That's the dude, you know. And you can see very simply why he's that confidence, you know. So when I think of that confidence talking to me, you know, that's what I want. Is that kind of strength, because I think he's a confident guy. But then my paranoia is Pee Wee Herman. But Pee Wee Herman had his downfall when he got caught in that porno theater masturbating, and it was worldwide news, and his career was destroyed. Most likely because I'll guarantee Mr. Rogers hired a PI or somebody around him did to follow Pee Wee Herman to find some dirt on him to bring his show down because it was so successful. I do believe that happens all the time, yes. Being a PI, I do believe that. So, but that's their weakness. I want the strength. I don't want the weakness, man, you know? So probably the paranoia should be female. I don't know, man. There's a few people in my life that could easily, but that's toxic. You don't want toxic. And you know what? Not everybody's like that. And when you hook up with someone who's toxic like that, you need to respect yourself afterwards. You need time to heal. You need time to think and understand and listen to the people who love you. Listen to your fans and not your critics. You know, I'm going to leave you guys with that. So I'm very happy that Joe Montaldo's studio, United Public Radio Network, is still in one piece after that huge, gigantic hurricane came through, that he didn't suffer any real damage or anything like that. So, but as always, you know what? You can go to the United Public Radio Station website and always support the shows by donating. That's beautiful, man, because we don't give you commercials. Maybe sometimes we do, but not like the other people do. Anyway, I'm going to see you guys next week on this show, and tune in to Discovery Paranormal on Tuesday night. I'll be talking about pterodactyls and how people are seeing pterodactyls in the Carolinas and out in Utah. And I have actual pictures of pterodactyls that people have killed throughout the years. And you're going to be amazed when I tell you this information, man. So I'll see you guys on United Public Radio Network on Red Pill News next week. Take the red pill.